From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the 13th day of December, 2021. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. We'll be joined by Frayne Olson, North Dakota State University Extension agricultural economist, to discuss the broader perspective of agricultural commodities across the planet, how they move, and what kind of conditions may be developing for the marketplace through the winter months. And then as we close out our time together, we'll take a look at the weather forecast with Mark Russo from Everstream Analytics, all on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
March corn today at $5.85, down a nickel. The May contract 4.5 lower at $5.87.25. December futures $5.42.5, down 8.5 cents. That's for the new crop corn. January soybeans at $12.44, 23.75 lower. The March at $12.50.75, 23.5 lower. And November beans at $12.30.5, down 18.5 cents. The bean meal down $4.70 at $3.62.10. Bean oil $52.35, 34 cents lower. Wheat futures soft red, $7.88.75, up 3.5 cents. The hard red, 7 higher at $8.12.5 for the afternoon. Live cattle futures in Chicago at $138.85, up 77.5. Feeders at $1.17.5 higher, $166.47.5. The settlement price for 100 pounds and lean hogs at $80.75, down 27.5 cents. Kurt Kimmel is now here from Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, to discuss the marketplace for the day. Hi, Kurt. Thanks for being with us. It's a beautiful day. I've been on the farm in Elkhart at the bin. We're unloading today. I've got about 10% of my crop yet to market out of this bin. I'm wondering if you've got good advice for me.
Well, that's a great question. Producers are kind of trying to square away the books and see where they are here for year end and so forth. Producers as a whole kind of feel they're anywhere from 60 to 65% price. And there's a wide variance on opinions on out there and kind of what to do. Some guys looked at the price here and said, boy, you know, take that times my yield. That's good enough and cash it all in. In fact, these grain elevators are looking at a fairly large amount of deliveries here right after the first year, or in fact, and a huge, huge outflow of cash going to the producer here right after the first year for January pay. So I don't know if everybody going the same direction is going to be wrong or not, but we kind of recommend, in your case here, go ahead and move some additional grain, take the money. Use that cash, because you're going to need that cash to pay the inputs here as we go into 2022, and keep your checkbook in balance in through here. Because basically what's happening is you got to manage this a little bit, because what we're moving to is producers were at the $5 blackjack table. Now they've moved up to the $100 blackjack table. So there's a huge amount of risk, record cash outlay to put this next crop in. So you got to kind of manage it a little bit. And simplest thing to do, keep it simple. Go ahead and take the cash, do a little replacement if you wish, some type of covered strategy. So if we do turn dry, hot here later on this new crop growing season, you can participate that way and have a little courage on to make some new crop sales here. So each one's a little bit different, but I think for the most part, you got to have some cash to work with.
You mentioned you needed a little courage for the new crop sales. How far along would you think producers, and I know this is pretty individual, but how far along should they be, or should they just get started? Where do you think they ought to be? And is this for both corn and soybean?
Yeah, you know, there's still a lot in front of us here. We've got quite a bit of anhydrous on in some areas, so you're fairly well locked in. So flow situations, I think you got to have some type of price floor. That's the simplest way to kind of put a floor in, leave your upside open. That way, if you're short on bushels, you've got some flexibility there. Plus, two, staying flexible is going to be the key from the standpoint that right now, when you look around, the local bid versus the ethanol bid versus the chicken farm and so forth, there's a lot of moving parts there. So if you're mobile and have several sources, I think you got to stay open because there's going to be some opportunities, you know, on looking forward here to take advantage of some end users needing some cash corn and beans here.
Why were the soybeans down hard today?
Great question. Man, you would have thought that, I mean, I'm searching for some news here. You thought that something happened somewhere. There's a little better chance of some rain in the southern hemisphere. But, you know, we still have a lot of growing season to go. You know, there's just limited export news, and I think that's probably a little bit more of a concern than two. During the trade session, the Dow was down over 300 points most of the session, and I think we lost a little bit of investor confidence for the most part. But going into midday, the commodity funds sold about 5,000 contracts of corn, 8,000 contracts of beans, 5,000 meal, and about 3,000 bean oil. You know, from an individual's point of view, that's a lot of contracts. But from a commodity fund point of view, you know, it's kind of a drop in the bucket there. So I think we're in the early holiday mode here. There's this kind of lack of interest or conviction here to be real aggressive. If you look at a price chart, we're still in that sideways pattern or still within the November's price range. And to pop out of that price range here probably will take some type of event, and that probably won't happen until after the first of the year.
Are we going to give Wayne a turnaround Tuesday to talk about tomorrow? And more importantly, are you thinking drift lower into the end of the year?
Well, the bull had Thanksgiving, so the concern is the bear might have Christmas in through here. We were actually looking for one more push here into next Monday, the 20th. So we were kind of looking for a full moon high, but hopefully I'll be a full moon low and have a little recovery. But I think we're kind of range bound. But yes, you kind of hinted on this a week or two ago that we've gone from a bullish Monday to a bearish Monday here, and expect hopefully Monday's be the low for the week so the rest of the crew can talk positive throughout the week.
Anything from the livestock side that you're watching at this point or in the outside markets? I know you mentioned the Dow being down today.
Yeah, on the Dow. One thing you got to keep in mind in through here, if you got mutual funds particularly or even stocks, we're looking at dividend reinvestment season in through here, and there's going to be a lot of fluctuation. And for tax purposes, there's going to be a lot of big payouts, a lot of long-term capital gains. So you got to decide whether to take that or let that roll into additional shares. So from the IRA stock market point of view, there's a lot of interest there. Livestock-wise, man, we've seen a huge fluctuation in the cutout values. You know, we saw cattle start out today here as flat price, traded sharply lower, then came back and kind of closed higher. So there's a lot more volatility, a lot more action in the livestock versus the grain here right at present time in through here. Thing is, we'll see if there is any last-minute purchases prior to the Christmas and year-end holiday and through here, but for the most part, packers are pretty well where they want to be. So we look for the main thing would be to the export sector here and see if this export news remains fairly strong, because we have a lot of pork to go through here as we turn the calendar into 2022.
Hey, thank you.
You bet.
Kurt Kimmel is with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. We're now joined by Frayne Olson, agricultural economist from North Dakota State University Extension. Thank you, Frayne, for joining us from there in Fargo. We appreciate it.
Yeah, it's always a pleasure. I really enjoy visiting and sharing some of the, observations and comments.
Well, let's start with some observations about the marketplace just from now until the end of the year, a very short time frame. Prices are good. Farmers are still thinking about, hey, you know, $6 cash might come around. What are your observations, at least as it relates to what the corn market may or may not do?
Yeah, we're heading, drifting very quickly into the kind of this holiday doldrums or the holiday pause. Everybody, all the processors, all the international buyers know this is coming. It tends to happen this time of year. The December WASD numbers, there's really no big shock value. It was basically a hold even from what we had in November. So right now, I do think we're going to have some pretty quiet times until we get after the first of the year. By the time we get into the kind of first full business week of January, things will start to pick up again. That's typically the cycle that we see. There might be some opportunities depending upon what local elevators or feed mills or ethanol plants are sitting, where you might see a basis pop where they need some additional immediate deliveries or something a little bit shorter term. But longer term, when you look at the bigger picture things, this is going to be a pretty quiet season. We're going to go into a couple of weeks of some quieter times.
On the export side of the marketplace for both corn and soybeans, particularly for soybeans, but somewhat for feed grains, the world is dependent on China to import. Are there any concerns that you have?
Well, yeah, I guess both positive and negative news that we can look at. There was some announcements that China has come in and purchased some pretty large quantities. We don't know the exact volumes yet, but some pretty large quantities of feed wheat and feed barley out of France. Also some feed barley out of Ukraine, as well as some additional feed wheat out of Australia. Again, Australia, they are going to have a very large crop, but they've had some rains now during their harvest season. So some of the milling quality wheat that we kind of anticipated hitting the marketplace after the first of the year has slipped into that feed category. So I think they're trying to get rid of some of their feed wheat into the marketplace. So there has been some opportunities for China to come in and meet some of their feed demand. Usually we think in the United States here about corn as being the dominant feed source, especially on the starch or carbohydrate side of the ledger. But recognize globally, feed wheat and barley are also some pretty important feedstocks. And China has come in and purchased off the global market some of these larger volumes. So there's kind of a two-edged sword. Number one, it's a good thing because it looks as though China is still in the global market for feedstuffs. That even though their hog industry is having some problems continuing their expansion after African swine fever, there was some concerns about what is that full demand base coming out of the Chinese industry. The profitability for hog production has been slipping because of higher feed costs and lower pork prices. So it's a positive thing that they're still looking into the international market for some of that. But we also have to be a little cautious that you don't have to feed corn. And last year, China was our number one corn buyer. Mexico was our number two buyer. And I know there's a lot of folks right now looking at that Chinese market saying, will they continue to come in and buy U.S. corn? I do think we will have some export opportunities. My opinion is that China will come back and buy some more U.S. corn. But by the time we get into kind of that February, March time period, when the first crop corn comes out of Brazil, we're also going to have some additional corn supplies there. So it is a very competitive market. China tends to be a very shrewd buyer. When they see an opportunity, when they see what is considered a good value, they will come in and purchase. But we have to be careful that we don't get overly optimistic about what China's feed demand will be, in particular for U.S. corn. So, again, double-edged sword. It's some positive news, but there's also some possible, clouds in the horizon.
On the export side, we talk sometimes, or actually a lot, about soybeans and the exports going out of New Orleans. About 60% of that crop across the nation is exported. Part of it goes out to the West Coast, and of course North Dakota would feed that. In New Orleans, we have an export window for soybeans. It closes about January as Brazil begins to export some of the crop that's coming off of their fields at that point. And I'm wondering whether the same closure happens going to the West Coast or not.
Yeah, we have a very similar pattern because not only China as a very dominant buyer of soybeans, whole soybeans off the global market, but also even some of the other smaller export destinations like the European Union do tend to follow that same pattern. Now, one of the things we're seeing this year that I'm a little bit concerned about, last year, our export window for U.S. soybeans extended fairly long into that, even February and even early March, because the Brazilian crop was delayed. Their planting was delayed. They had some rains at harvest that also delayed some of their availability. So the global market came back to the U.S. and backfilled some of those immediate needs, because most international buyers are looking and thinking and planning anywhere from 3 to 6 months forward. So they, because of the logistical time period from when they buy until it finally arrives in their port, they have to be thinking a little bit longer term. Well, last year, because of the delay and kind of the slower planting progress and harvest progress out of Brazil, our export window in the United States got extended for about another 3 to 4 weeks beyond what we would normally see. The opposite is happening this year. In particular in Brazil, the northern Brazil, Mato Grosso region, their planting progress started earlier than normal and has been very rapid throughout the whole country. And so there's the expectation in the market that we're going to have exportable beans on the cash market, supplies coming out of Brazil in particular, sooner than we did than even normal. So I'm a little concerned that our export window, both out of the Gulf as well as out of the PNW, is going to be a little bit shorter this year because of those supplies hitting the marketplace. Probably, again, exportable stocks, probably by mid to late January, the Brazilians will be hitting the marketplace, and our window is going to close pretty quickly.
Does that have a potential issue related to second crop or safrinha corn as well?
It does. And again, recognizing that the safrinha crop, which is the second crop, in northern Brazil, the old rule was, well, as soon as you got done harvesting your soybeans, you turned around and planted soybeans as quickly as possible. Well, because of rotation problems now, and there's actually restrictions on how quickly you can follow one crop of beans with another crop of beans because of disease issues and as well as fertility problems. Right now, the system in Brazil is you in Mato Grosso, northern part in particular, as well as Goiás, you tend to harvest your soybeans. As soon as you can, come back then with a second crop of corn plantings. You do that. And that does open up the window then again for earlier planting of corn, the second crop corn, which is about 75% of Brazil's total production. That opens that window for again, a quicker replant into the corn sector. The other thing we have to understand is, you know, moving corn from northern Brazil into the export market, it logistically has some issues. So a lot of the safrinha crop, that second crop, even though it's larger bushels, a big portion of that does stay domestic. So the first crop corn, which tends to be planted in the southern part, is available for export because it's close enough to the export terminals. They have some short line railroads that get it from the farm gate into those export terminals. And then for the second crop corn, again, they do have some that's grown in the southern part, but a lot of the big production in northern Brazil, Mato Grosso, Goiás, does tend to stay local for their domestic feed sector, as well as they have a small ethanol sector that uses corn as the feedstock. But that does have an impact on market psychology, on the size and total bushels available from Brazil. If those bushels are bigger than we expect, again, that will put additional pressure on the global market.
Indeed. Hey, thank you. I appreciate you taking the time with us on this Monday.
Always a pleasure to visit. Thank you very much.
It's always good to visit with you, too. That's Frayne Olson. He is with North Dakota State University Extension in Fargo. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. On this Monday afternoon, let's check the weather forecast. We're now joined by Mark Russo. He's at Everstream Analytics. Hey, Mark, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me, Todd.
Well, you know, I'm on the farm today. It's really not too bad. I don't have a jacket on, and I guess it's supposed to get warmer even the rest of this week. What can you tell me about this kind of really nice weather in the month of December?
Yeah, Todd, today's unseasonably warm temperatures will become even more anomalous here as we go through the day on Tuesday, with Wednesday being the warmest day across the Corn Belt. See widespread 60s, even some 70s here, which could not only break daily temperature records, but could set some all-time on December records here in the Corn Belt. It does look like beyond that, on Thursday, a cold front comes through, and that will end the stretch of highly anomalous and record warmth, but obviously pretty impressive here this week, especially these next 4 days.
And then do we change after that? Surely we do.
Yeah, it does look like we change, but the biggest takeaway here is that it's a change back to something closer to normal or more reasonable levels here in terms of temperature. So back down to more seasonal levels for this weekend and much of next week. So the highly anomalous warmth here is not going to be long in duration this week.
Check in on the crops in South American weather conditions there across Argentina, Paraguay, and Brazil.
Yeah, the item that we continue to watch in South America is southern Brazil and into parts of Argentina, particularly the northeast half of the Argentina grain belt. That zone of South America, you know, has featured drier conditions of late, especially in southern Brazil. And going forward, that still is an area that will tend to miss out on widespread significant rains. It doesn't appear that they're bone dry, but the opportunities for rain look very isolated or scattered across that area. In addition, it does look like temperatures are going to be turning warmer than normal in that zone starting late this week and continuing throughout much of next week. In fact, it's looking like the warmest stretch and the longest duration warm stretch of the growing season across northeast Argentina and southern Brazil. So not overly problematic, but certainly that zone is going to need more rain here coming up later this month and more importantly on into January.
And finally, before I let you go, any interesting weather stories across the planet that we might want to take a look at today?
Yes, Todd. We are closely watching the pattern across Europe, where actually next week temperatures will be turning unseasonably cold. In fact, it's looking like a major cold wave for Europe and Russia next week as Siberian air flows westward into Europe. And this is a classic setup of how Europe sees their coldest temperatures during the winter. And it's looking pretty extreme. And obviously, in terms of impacts, the main item here, they're having their energy crisis. This is going to likely exacerbate the energy issues as heating demand gets exceptionally high. Also, with the cold and some snowy conditions, likely cause some disruptions in grain transportation across that area as well. So that is certainly a noteworthy item out there. And it's Europe with very wintry and cold conditions coming up here next week and likely beyond too.
Hey, thank you. I appreciate it.
You're welcome, Todd.
Mark Russo is with Everstream Analytics. Joined us here on the Closing Market Report. It came to you from Illinois Public Media.